like 12 years ago that 2018 was going to be a significant year, and he's been holding on to that word for all of this time, and he says it's here and I can't wait. And he says, I know the past 4 years have been a setup for 2018. You know, we come in and talking about Genesis moments and all of that. I love one thing that Bill Johnson always says, and he said sometimes we ask for an oak tree and God gives us an acorn. We ask for an oak tree and he gives us an acorn. Has he answered our prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the Father is looking for a people of faith, a people of hope, a people that will take maybe the path of obscurity, definitely the path less traveled, and they will not try to figure out how to work God into their life, but try to how to figure the to work everyday life into the kingdom realm that they're living in. And that's kind of the premise. I've recently just got through teaching a study, I don't know if I'm through with it yet, on creating a kingdom culture within us. Not necessarily within here, but I do believe that's what we're supposed to do, but the kingdom culture within us. And I'm convinced for us to create a kingdom culture in everything that is surrounding us, whether it be our business, our church, our farm, or whatever, in order to create that kingdom culture, it has to first start with the kingdom culture within here. And the way that happens is having encounters with God. You cannot create a kingdom culture within your life based on biblical principles. You can adhere to biblical principles and your life will be have levels of success simply because kingdom principles work. They work. Reaping and sowing works. The reciprocity of if you then I, those things work. But void of encounters with God, we're just living a life of principles. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life, to enter into heaven? And Jesus said, what does the word say? And he began to talk about the scriptures. And he said, I've done all these from my youth. I have applied these principles to my life. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. Go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross daily and follow me. He said, one thing you lack, and that's genuine encounter with the Messiah. And when you begin to have encounters with me, then that is the seed form. That is the impregnation of kingdom in our life, and out of that the kingdom culture is birthed. So my prayer over you guys is not that we would get everything right and do everything right and create all of this nice, you know, the American church is to me has gotten so jacked up. We've created this kingdom in itself of principles, and this is how you do it. And typically the American church today is run on business models. We say, well, let's run church like Truett Cathy ran Chick-fil-A, and it'll work. And guess what it does in growing a church? But there's one thing that I feel like is missing, and that is people coming in and having genuine encounters with God. And I pray that this year would be such a year of individual encounters with God. And out of those encounters that you have with God, a kingdom culture is going to be birthed within you. And as it is birthed within you, the overflow is going to be. I'm so blessed. I look down here every Sunday morning. I can't even sit on the front row anymore. Because all these precious babies that want to get down front. It's not because Jesus' pocketbook's full of candy. But they gravitate to being in the presence of worship and peace and joy. And it's not because she's sitting here or he's sitting here or anything like that. It's because they just come down to this place. And that's where it starts, is with the wonder in the child. And I pray every one of them will be so impregnated with encounters with him. And I want to tell you something, guys. It doesn't have to wait until you're 30-year-old to start having radical encounters. I believe my grandchildren can have encounters with God right now. Individual and corporately. Individual and corporately. We were talking with a couple, came by in business, Jody Brazelton. A lot of y'all know Jody, remember Jody back from the day. He called us up, me and Laura were cutting wood Friday afternoon. He's like, hey man, what are y'all doing? I said, we're out in the woods cutting wood. He says, I'm in Billerica, I'm coming through to Gaston. Can you, you know? So him and his wife came by. And I don't know if many of you know Jody. We've known Jody for 30 years. He's a praise and worship leader. goes over and sings just all over. Just God's really just hooked our lives up years and years ago. But he was talking about their church, and you know, it's like, man, I love our church, but he said the kids aren't in there for praise and worship. And he said, I want my children in there for praise and worship. He's got a child that's severely autistic and said, I want him in there for praise and worship. And sometimes he cries out and it makes people uncomfortable, but I want him in there for praise and worship. Because I know we can have encounters with the presence of God. I know we can have individual encounters with God. And I so want this year to be a year of radical encounter for us. And sometimes it is huge. And sometimes it is a still small voice. Sometimes it is a prophetic word from a woman of the house, a daughter of the house, that comes forth. Take that, Jamie, as a word from the Lord. He would stop heaven and he would speak that to Aaliyah's heart, knowing she'd be faithful to release that into you. And that's his kiss on you this morning. That's his kiss on you this morning. That's his kiss on you this morning, Annie. That's not Aaliyah giving you a word because she's your friend and y'all grew up and together and all of that stuff. That's God saying, I see you and I know who you are and I love you and I have desire for you. And I want this year to be above every year coming up, building to this moment, that it would be a year of encounter. And sometimes the encounter, don't get thrown off, because sometimes the encounter looks like an acorn. But you have to see past the acorn and see what the acorn will become. I want to tell y'all a cool story. Lori's heard it four times, so she's going to get... That happened to me Wednesday night. She said, Bobby, I told Randy and Terry last night we went out to eat. And I told Tiffany because it concerns Tiffany. Wednesday night, I was talking with one of the guys from the Blake House, Robert's his name, and I asked him, I said, Robert, where are you from? And he said, I'm from Gunnison, Colorado. And I said, no, you're not. Where are you from? That's where he moved here from, was Gunnison, Colorado, but he has an African accent. And I said, where are you from? And he said, I'm from Rwanda. And I said, were you there during the genocide? A lot of you guys are too young. You don't know about this, but in 94 there was a civil war in Rwanda, and about 70% of the Tutsi population was murdered, massacred through genocide. The majority Hutu came in, and they came, and you guys that are old enough to, we're dating ourselves. It seems like just a few years ago, but it was 94, and nearly a million people were killed in this genocide. Nearly a million people. And I asked him, I said, were you there when that took place and all of that? And he says, yeah. He said, my whole family was murdered. And he said, I'm the only one that survived. I was 13 years old, and I was the only one that survived. And he said, a Catholic relief organization came in. He said, they got me into a refugee camp. And he said, I first went to Kenya, and then I went to Lathana, which is a small country above South Africa. And he said, I went there. And he said, I was in the refugee camp for 3 years. And the whole time, he said, I had a relative that was living in America before all the genocide happened, and they were trying to get me into America. And he said that after they found out that I had survived, and it took some time for all of that to happen. But he said, it was a three-year process. And he said, eventually I wound up into New Hampshire. And he said, I was just trying to, you know, I'm doing life and all of this stuff, and always, obviously it took some wrong turns because he wound up in the Blake House, and he said, I'm just really trying to figure out my spiritual journey and figure out my relationship with God and all of this stuff. And he said a few weeks ago, this is where Tiffany comes in, and the culture within us, okay? This is a two-way thing. The culture within us. He said 2 weeks ago, we were here on Sunday morning, and it was the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And Lori and I were out of town. We were hunting, and Brett was ministering. And he said, I was in and out of the sermon, I'll be honest with you. He said, I'm just trying to figure things out and all of that. But he said at the end of the service, he said this young lady got up, and she spoke, and she shared a word. And he said she quoted some scripture as she was sharing that word. And he said the scripture she quoted was scripture that my mama used to quote to me when I was a little boy. And he said it carried me back to that place. And it stirred something in him, Gary, and it was a God kiss on his life in that moment. In that moment, he didn't hear Tiffany standing up and saying, "This is what I feel like God is saying." He heard God saying, "I see you, I know you, I have preserved you for a reason, I brought you to this place for a reason, and I want to be active in your life." That's what he heard that morning. He had an encounter with God in that moment. And maybe Tiffany wrestled and resisted on giving the word and all of that. And I listened to the podcast and I remember the word, but I don't remember all the details of the word. But it was monumental for this guy so much that we had about a 20-minute conversation Wednesday night. And that was the crescendo of the conversation. Was that God spoke to me through that lady in this place. And it did something in my spiritual journey that I'm trying to figure out right now. And it was a Genesis moment for him. It's a Genesis moment for him. And I say that to encourage you. I say that to encourage the Leases, the Aaliyahs, the Lorries, the Best, the Robins, the people that would hear his voice and stand up and maybe go to somebody privately. And say, "This is what I feel like God's saying." And release heaven into their life. "This is what I feel like the Lord's saying." And you are an agent of a Genesis moment in somebody's life. So this is a two-way thing. So this year, as you have these encounters, and it may be somebody coming up and releasing something into you, it may be something somebody standing up on stage, it may be a podcast. It may be a podcast. Because in that moment when I was having this conversation with Robert, and he told me a Catholic relief organization is what saved his life and got him out of there, it immediately challenged me, Kenny, and asked me, "Whose lives am I saving? Whose lives am I saving? What am I doing in this?" And I'm totally off script this morning. I'm sorry. I was listening to Mike Bickle this week, and it was actually a Q&A. And I Brett House actually got to listen to it Friday. He borrowed my truck, and I said, "Listen to this, brother." I said, "It'll wreck your world." And it was a Q&A from Heaven Come Conference. And Mike Bickle and Bill Johnson and John Bevere are sitting on stage, three heavyweights in our culture. And Eric Johnson is asking them questions, and he's asking Mike, y'all know Mike's the founder of IHOP, okay? Everybody familiar with IHOP? And just real cool interaction that they're having in all of this, and they asked Mike, they said, "Tell me about your faith journey. How did it start and all this?" He said, "My dad, I always wanted to be a boxer. My dad was an Olympic boxer." And he said, "I grew up in bars. My dad was a popular guy because he was an Olympic boxer, and we go into these little hometown local bars and all that." He said, "Everybody buy my dad drinks, and I'm whatever his dad's name, I'm his son. So I'm popular too." And he said, "I had a good time. My dad was not a Christian until the very end of his life. But he said he loved me and he cared, you know, I thought he was the coolest dad in the world." And he said, "One day," he said, "I used to love to camp out in the backyard." He said, "I would lay out in my backyard and I would look up at the stars." He said, "I just loved doing that as a kid." And he said, "One day I had this epiphany as I was laying out in there. There's got to be a God up there. I never heard anybody in my family mention the name God or anything about it." He said, "I came in that morning and I said, 'Dad,' I said, 'I was looking at the stars last night and there's got to be a God up there.'" And his dad, matter of fact, he said, "Yeah, there is." He said, "Well, I think I'm going to join a religion and find him." And his dad said, "Well, you can either be a Jew or a Catholic." True story. He said, "You can either be a Jew or a Catholic." And he said, "Well, which one should I choose?" He said, "Well, the Jews have more money, but the Catholics are bigger." He said, "Okay, I think I'll be a Jew." He said, "Good choice." So he said, "I marched myself down to the synagogue. The next day they were open, you know, for service. I'm not sure if they're Saturday or I guess it's Saturday's their Sabbath." So he said, "I go to the synagogue." He said, "I go through the service and all that, and I go up to the rabbi after it's over and said, 'I want to be a Jew.'" He kind of looked at me like, "Who is this street kid coming in here saying he won't be?" He said, "Basically, they blew me off."
He said, I went home and told my dad. He said, Dad, it didn't work. They didn't want me to, wouldn't let me be a Jew. He said, well, be a Catholic. So he said, I went to the Mass at the Catholic Church. And he said, it was a lot of old people in there, and they were all real staunch and, you know, looked like super conservative and uptight and all that good stuff and everything. And he said, at the end of the service, he said, the only thing I knew about it was you got free snacks at the end. Talking about the wafer of bread and the grape juice. So he said, I went down and got my free snack and all of this stuff. And he said, at the end, he said, when it was over, everybody was leaving. And he said, I went down to see the priest. And I said, hey, sir. And he said, all these old conservative people that are in the church were horrified that this street kid would come in and was... He said, I went around behind the rail. And he said, I want to become a Catholic. And said the priest looked at him and told him, says, meet me here next Saturday at 3 o'clock. He said for the next 10 months he met with me every Saturday afternoon. He said, I became a Catholic. And that was a Genesis moment in his life because a Catholic priest said, I will take the time for this young man. And he had an encounter through a man with a God that said, I'll take time for you. I love that story. A lot of other stuff he talked about. He said, I used to hate to pray and read the Bible. He said, I love Jesus, but I hated praying and reading the Bible. Now that's all I do is just worship and pray and worship and pray. But I said, God, I want to be a facilitator of encounters in people's lives. And sometimes it looks like giving a word, and sometimes it looks like being faithful, coming in here on Wednesday night and teaching a class. You know, part of the hunger that I see in our children in this house, you know what that... I got in trouble a few weeks ago because we didn't have children's church with my granddaughter. Not my daughter, my granddaughter. She was mad at me. Caroline was mad at me because we did not release the kids into children's church. She's like, I got gypped today. This ain't right. But part of these encounters are you guys being so faithful and so awesome on Wednesday night teaching them. I'm doing the Ignite on Wednesday night. And it may look like I'm just getting them food every week, but you know what you're doing? You're facilitating encounters with God for them, Ashley. In the case, y'all are facilitating encounters with God with them. You ladies that are so faithful to teach them, Michelle and Tiffany and Ariel and all y'all are so faithful in that. You're facilitating encounters with them. And what that's doing is that is creating Genesis moments in their life. Where something is conceived. And out of that's going to come worship leaders. And out of that's going to come missionaries. And out of that's going to come mothers in the church. And out of that's going to come great mothers. Solid wives. It all comes out of encounters with God. I want to read one verse of Scripture and then I'm going to package this up somehow and finish it and we'll catch it later. Y'all know I can't ever get through one lesson in about 3 weeks anyway. So I just want to read a verse that really jumped out at me. We're going to start in verse 8. This is the backdrop of the Christmas story. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then it goes and it tells the story of how the angel said, this is going to be the sign. Then a multitude of angels came in behind that and began to praise God and worship God. Then the shepherd said, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this sight. They went, they found, we know the story, guys. It said they went out and they noised it abroad. Mary pondered it in her heart. I love thinking about baby Jesus right here, and baby Jesus, whether he was 6 pounds, 7 pounds, 8 pounds, I don't know how big he is, he was. But at the end of the day, he was fresh. Nobody got saved that day. Nobody got healed that day. Nobody got delivered that day. But yet it was a Genesis moment. Because the acorn showed up on earth. And it said, now things are set in motion on this dimension. But the Lord really captured my attention on some wording right here that I want to just throw out there to you. And then hopefully you'll ponder on it this week. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day. Jesus is timeless. He spoke creation into existence. He has always been with Father God. He is without beginning. He is without end. But the Word said, for unto you is this day is born. Unto you. So nothing about Jesus was new other than the fact of how He was appearing as a child. Personally, I believe there are many pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus in the Bible. I think Abraham would have had a pre-incarnate appearance, encounter with Jesus. Because an angel is not going to receive worship. He bowed down and he worshiped Jesus. But nonetheless, he said, for unto you is this day born. He was talking to shepherds, a group of shepherds. I don't know if it was three. I don't know if it was five. I don't know how many it was. But he was coming in and he says, unto you is this day born. Something is originating in your life in this moment. It's a Genesis moment for you. You're not going to get saved today. You're not going to get redeemed today. You're not going to get delivered today. But unto you is born this day. And I want to suggest to you, and I want to release and encourage in you that 2018 is going to be a year of for unto you is born this day. For unto you is born this day. That there are going to be things that are going to be Genesis moments in your life that are going to be, they are timeless. They have been in play. God has known about these things. God is behind the scenes in another dimension, in another level, has to have these things moving and in motion. But it's going to be Genesis in 2018, Jamie White. It's going to be Genesis 2018, Robin. That the Lord's going to say, boom, in a moment, for unto you is born this day. For unto you is born this day. And it caused the shepherds to change their culture within. I believe they were never the same. They went and they saw, and behold, it was the you never get over. You should never get over the wonder of I had an angelic encounter. Not with just one angel, but when that one angel declared the word of heaven, then all of the rest of the angels, it began to resonate with them. And they responded to that. When Aaliyah gave a word to you a while ago, Annie, she used a word that it caught my attention. It didn't say angel, guardian, it said angels. He said, my angels are standing at attention to fight your fights for you. My angels. And that's what they saw and that's what they encountered. And it's for unto you is this day born. It's born, it's birthed. But 2018 is going to be a year of birth. It's not going to just be a day of impregnation. Some of you have been pregnant with stuff for a while, but it's going to be a day of birth. It is going to be a day of birth. And I don't want you to miss it. I want you to capture it. I want you to see it. I want you to recognize it. Say, man, this isn't, whoa, what was that? This is the Lord. I want us to recognize it because we're looking for it. I've got a quote that I put on my note desk every month that stays on there. There's three of them that stay on there 12 months a year, every year running.
And one of those quotes is, you seldom see what you are not looking for. You know what I'm looking for this year? Heaven encounters. Every time I engage the Lord in worship, I'm looking for heaven encounters. Every time I look at and listen to a podcast, I'm looking for heaven encounters. I'm driving around 285 the other day listening to podcasts, just crying my eyes out, saying, I hope I don't wreck. And it was a heaven encounter. I bet people were driving by saying, that cat's having a bad day today. And I was having a glorious day. A glorious day. Because it was a heaven encounter. I'm carrying my three grandkids out to see Ferdinand this afternoon. I'm pretty pumped about it. Four. We got four of them. I'm still pumped about it. That plays zone defense. I'm carrying them to see Ferdinand, carrying them out to eat. You know what I'm expecting? A heaven encounter. You say, you're going to see Ferdinand, but I'm going to see Ferdinand with my four grandchildren. So you know what I'm looking for? Heaven encounter. A heaven encounter. Isabel and Sidney Hannah came up to me before church, and you know what they were so excited about? We saw each other at the Fox Theater the other night at Nutcracker. And they were telling me about the ballerinas and the men in tights that were so strong because they were holding these girls up. They said, these guys are so strong. And you know what I saw in them? I saw wonder in them. And y'all saw a nice, wonderful bonding evening between mother and daughter. But you know what I see in that? I see heaven encounter in that. I see kingdom culture being released into them where they dream and they see and they feel and they believe in the, dare I say, the magic. Let's just say supernatural. The hope of supernatural. That's a heaven encounter. For unto you is this day born. Unto you is this day born. You said something to me a while back, Eric, that kind of caught my radar, and I hadn't let go of it yet. We were over at the hunt lease, and you were talking about the house and all of that stuff and everything, and you said you were very proud. I said, man, it's got to be fulfilling, because I remember when we did that with our house back in 86 and 87 and all that, and when we finally finished the loan process, it was like, you know, a big exhale, but you had this sense of, man, we did it. And you said that one of the girls, and I don't remember which one it was, but you said one of the girls told me y'all were coming home from a trip. And I said, man, are you satisfied with everything? And you said, yes. And you said that one of the girls told you on the way home, she says, Daddy, I love our new house. And that resonated with me. That resonated with me. I hope you felt, when she said that, obviously the parental pride and the pride of a craftsman came up in you, but I hope you felt a heaven moment in that. And you felt like this is what home is supposed to feel like. That they love it and they gravitate to it. And it's full of peace, it's full of hope, it's full of love. That's why they do this right here every Sunday morning, because that's what it feels like. It's what it feels like. And they look up to the heaven. In the lives of others. I'm going to leave you with this. They look up to the heaven in your lives. Every time Robert sees you, Tiffany, that's the gentleman from Rwanda, that's his name. Every time he sees you, he'll remember that that's the woman that spoke God to me. You know what you spoke? You spoke God language that day. You spoke God language that day. And he heard it. Liz spoke God language this morning. You heard it. She spoke God language this morning. You heard it. Jesus said, I only say what I've heard my Father say. He said, I speak God language. And the God language is birthed out of encounters. And as that's birthed out of encounters, you know what it does? It creates encounters in the lives of other people. That's what it does. So this year,
That's it in my New Year's messages. Y'all know how they kind of go. But this year, this week, I pray that you will have Genesis moments. And then those that have encounters with you will have Genesis moments. I pray the peace that rests of the supernatural grace and peace that rests on your life right now, Beth, that your whole family is just, they feel it. That your dad comes in, he says, man, it's so good. It's okay. I so see and feel something coming off of my daughter. And that as you speak grace. As you speak love. As you speak the language of heaven. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.